Why are you laughing?
You have any tokens for the machine down the street?
Welcome to the Why Are You Laughing podcast!
Tuesday, August 17th, 2021. It was one of Eddie's favorite songs.
Used to spend my nights out in barroom.
You would listen to this song and get all emotional, just like I am right now. Little Chris Stapleton on a Tuesday.
But you rescued me from reaching for the bottom.
What's happening, y'all? Welcome back to the Why You Laughing podcast. It's a solo podcast today. Just me, your boy, the Clappinator, the OG, the number one. What's happening, everybody? It is Tuesday. Obviously, you know why you're here. And, you know, I just wanted to come on by myself today and talk to you guys. Everything, there's no guests today. And sometimes that's a little bit better. Sometimes I like to come on and just talk to everybody. Sometimes it's hard to get guests also, and, you know, I just like to come on and talk to you guys a little bit about what's going on with me. You know, I was thinking about Eddie a lot today, and Eddie, for those who don't know, was my uncle. He passed away 3 years ago, right around this time, on June 3rd, he ended up passing. So I like to come on and chit-chat with you guys a little bit. You know, sometimes we forget about the people who mean the most to us in life. And hopefully I can be a little bit of a illuminator when it comes to how to deal with these sort of things. You know, and I'm not saying that I have the answers. I'm not saying that I'm right. But, you know, to come on and do this podcast and to come on and talk to you about this whole thing is how I sort of deal with it. You know, it's funny how in our family, mine specifically, we all deal with things in certain ways. You know, it's, and I'm probably one of the first to actually openly say what I'm saying. So, you know, I hope that everybody's doing good. I hope that everybody's solid. You know, I've been thinking about you guys a lot lately. I've been doing this podcast for, you know, I don't even know, probably a year and a half, and in January it'll be 2 years. So we're coming up on 2022. It's crazy. Can't even believe it. And I'm hoping that, excuse me, that you guys are still with me. I like to come on and talk to you guys about what's going on with me, because sometimes people don't know how to deal with certain things, and I'm hoping that this show can still continue and continue to help people. It's funny how, you know, when he was alive, we chose to talk about certain things that make us feel normal and make us feel comfortable. Eddie was always the type of guy that just went with things. You know, he was, you know, when he was happy. And what I mean by that is that he took the time to always look at things the way that they were. You know, not necessarily in the brightest standpoint of life, but as a reality that this is what was going on and this is how people deal with things. You know, we sometimes as humans, we look to attack and be negative and always sort of I think that things are going to be sort of downtrodden and rough, but I'm hoping that this podcast can help people to realize that it doesn't have to be that way. We can look to the future. We can look to be positive. You know, there are certain moments in my history with him that we would go for rides, and he would just tell me what was going on with him, like what was going on with him at work, how he was feeling. You know, sometimes he would go on rants, and I think that's probably where I get it from. he would go on rants about work and, you know, what was bothering him. But for the most part, he was just happy to be with somebody that wanted to be with him. And that doesn't mean necessarily in a relationship romantically. It meant that somebody went out of their way to be with them. You know, it's rough to be in your 60s and grow old with nobody. You know, he always had that standpoint of, like, I'm going to survive and I'm going to be this age and share my experiences with others. You know, one time we were at the hospital and that was his thing. He ran into a nurse that he knew. And she came up to him, and she was so happy to see him, whatever, and he was just telling her what was going on, and sitting there in a wheelchair. and he was like, you know, I didn't get to 60 by being stupid. That was one of his basic lines. And she laughed, and you know, he was just always like that. He always held court in a corner, as my dad would say, and just try to be there and be one of the people. So, you know, whatever was going on with him, whatever was going on with me, it's like we really were compatible at that point in time. You know, the last few years of his life, I never really spoke about, and I hope that it's understandable when I speak about it now. We were really tight friends. You know, we spent hours and hours and hours in conversation together. Trust me when I'm telling you. There were points in time where he would break down and I would break down. And at the end of the day, we were both human. He needed something that couldn't be provided, which was, you know, somebody who understood the disease that he was going through. It's like, people don't really understand. When you're a diabetic, you're not the same person. You're not the same man. You're not the same husband. You're not the same father. You're not the same brother. Things can happen in circumstances where we don't know how to treat ourselves, and we don't know how to treat other people. So, you know, it got to a point where he just couldn't carry the spread. You know, he loved everybody. He loved that he could still be single and do his own thing and take care of the people that he loved the most, me included. And, you know, just to be sort of a father figure to me was what meant most to me. You know, it's like at that time, guys, I moved out of my house when I was 19. I was on my own. I didn't know what I was going to do. My mother moved away. She got married. I had certain things going on in life. I had just started a new job. I had just, you know, gotten together with this girl that I thought was going to be the one. You know, I didn't know what was going to happen. I had hoped that things were going to work out and I was going to, you know, to be honest, I was going to propose. And I had hoped that I was going to start a new life. But, you know, no matter what was happening, it's with that situation, my grandfather passing away. You know, whatever was going on, Eddie was the catalyst. He was there when all of this stuff was going down. And I could not have gotten through what I went through without him. So, to have him by my side and, you know, to be sort of the beacon of solitude and understanding meant more to me than anyone could ever understand. You know, he had always asked me what was going on with me. You know, he had always sat there and listened, and his advice was more real than any other person, because sometimes you need to hear that stuff. You need to hear the stuff that you don't want to hear. Sometimes somebody will come to you and hit you in the chest with reality. You know, your heart is a very, very unstable organ. I hope I'm saying that right. But it's unstable to the fact that there's some things that you need to hear even though you don't want to hear it. And that's exactly what Eddie did for me. You know, he was just the type of person that was honest, said things to be understanding, not to attack, not to make you feel bad, but to sort of put you in the standpoint of this is how your mind works and this is how it's going to work for the next few years after this sort of stumble. You know, when my grandfather passed away, he was there the entire time. He was there holding his hand and sort of being the one that was in control of the whole situation. You know, no matter what was happening with me or the family, he was just there to sort of be a stronghold for everybody. And he was always like that. You know, even in the last moments, I remember this vividly. They came into the room and they asked Eddie what he wanted. Like, is everything okay? Do you need anything? He goes, yeah, I'll take a bottle of Jack Daniels. And that's just how he was, you know. He tried to lighten the mood no matter what. And I could always count on him for that, and my father too. So, you know, when I went through what I went through, he did the same thing for me. He made me feel like a real rock star. You know, he would come to my shows. He would call me on the phone. You know, trust me when I'm telling you, we had long conversations. We had long conversations about, you know, how he felt, how I felt. And I think if there's one thing that I miss, it's those conversations. Because he used to live, what happened was this, is that he used to live two houses down from me. When I moved to 11 Bassett Court in Marlboro, Eddie was two houses down. He lived in this red house, and he had always lived there from the time I was a youth. You know, I would be at my grandmother's house, and I would, you know, do work for them around the house, mow their lawn, do whatever. And I had a little three-wheeler. It was a little plastic tricycle. And I would always ride down the hill and hit the tree, you know, go 100 miles an hour down the hill like an idiot. And then the next thing you know, I would be like, all right, I'm going to go see Eddie. And they're like, okay. And I would walk in the door. And he'd be sitting there on the porch or whatever and be like, howdy, partner. How you doing? Whatever. And and he'd be like, you want a Coke? And it was always a Diet Coke waiting for me in the fridge, no matter what. And, you know, I'm a kid. This is probably 99, 2000s. And we would just sit there. Sometimes you don't even need to have conversations. Sometimes you just need to have company. And I had always been his company, no matter what. He would ask me questions about school and whatever, but He knew the deal with me and him, is that, you know, I'm his only nephew. I'm his only blood relative. You know, he had other relatives that were not blood that became his family, but I was always there, no matter what. I revered him as a hero. He meant so much to me. He looked like a biker. He was, you know, rugged and tough, but he was the sweetest man on earth. He was the sweetest man on earth. You know, no matter what he was going through with his relationships or, you know, his illness, it's like he always went out of his way to be kind and be funny and try to make you feel like you were the most important person in the world. He wasn't looking to see, oh, is somebody else coming in the room? Is there somebody else important that I need to talk to? When he was talking to you, he was only talking to you. You know, he made you feel like a rock star. And so, you know, when I got older and I ended up moving to Bassett Court, he was still living in that house, you know, and things just ended up getting worse for him. The diabetes ended up taking over quite a bit, and he ended up having to have surgery, and, you know, he couldn't really function without people. And it humbled me because I had never been able to help somebody the way that I helped him. I went over there all the time from that point on when I was 19. I went over there to help him get groceries. I talked to him. I did his laundry. You know, we were just very fortunate to have that time together. You know, I drove him to the airport a ton of times. You know, he understood me. And he understood me because he had been where I'm at 1,000 times before. So we got that chance to be together, to have in-depth conversations, as I told you. You know, he was just... he was just somebody that was there and told me things that I needed to hear. As a young man, you're very confused as to what steps you're going to take in life. And I don't mean the steps as like your career or, you know, what you aspire to be financially. I'm talking about the things that you need to hear as a man to carry yourself. To carry yourself in a way that is practical. To carry yourself in a way that is mature. And to carry yourself as a human being, as a parent, as a brother, as a father, as an uncle, as, you know, whatever you need to be. He was there. You know, he always... said things to me that I will carry for the rest of my life. And sometimes I'll have stories that I won't talk about, but the things that I do talk about are the things that mean the most to me. Like, I can remember one time, there was somebody in our family that was having a rough time with alcohol, and I would sit there and have deep conversations with him. You know, he'd always talked about, you know, your grandmother always wanted this person to be better, you know, to have a life and to be smart and be healthy, even though Eddie couldn't do those things. And I had always admired him for saying that to me, because there are some people that hear things, especially with the ones that you love, that don't have the courage to say those things out loud. Sometimes they just keep them to themselves. But Eddie had always made it a point to tell me how he felt about certain things. So, you know, to be with him and to be his sort of sound barrier was great. It was great because I'm a young man and I'm trying to figure out the person that I wanted to be, and Eddie was always the one that helped me. He had helped me realize what I could be. So, you know, even after all the, like, it's been 3 years, there's not a there's not a day that goes by that I don't think about him. There's not a day that goes by that I don't think on his advice, on his persona, on his heart. You know, it's really hard to believe how fast time goes. You know, it's hard to believe that I'm not that kid anymore that walked down the hill just to go say hello and chit-chat and do whatever. And, you know, guys, I gotta tell you, it really tears me up. Especially to think about, you know, what he would have said. Especially now in 2021. You know, just to go back and think. You know, my goodness, what what he would have said about these people, about the situations that we're in right now. I remember one time we were in the car, and it was me, him, and my father. And we're in the car, and he worked for this company. And this company had kind of triggered him a little bit and gotten him upset, which was on the norm. This guy was not really well-liked by a lot of people. And we're in the car, and he goes, You know, this guy cut Christmas bonuses. And I says, well, why did he do that? He goes, well, he cut the Christmas bonuses because he wanted to buy this expensive bottle of wine. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? You know, he just, he was real. He called it like he saw it. You know, he wasn't a person that beat it around the bush. You asked him a question, you were going to get the answer, and that's where I get it from. You know, people talk to me, and they wonder why I'm so direct. It was my grandmother, my father, and Eddie, who really put it to mind where if you want something to be explained, this is how you get it explained. You ask the question, and here's the answer, you know. So... I miss him. I miss his advice. I miss that face. You know, to this day, people come up to me and tell me stories about him. You know, stories that I really haven't heard before because he was never that person. He was never braggadocio about anything. He just, when he did stuff for you, he did it for you. He didn't say anything about it. He was always honest and sincere. I can remember at the they did a ride for him, a memorial ride, and there was about 80 something bikes. It was 80 to 90 bikes. My grandmother was just in awe. You know, she could not believe how many people showed up to this thing. But I remember this one woman came up to me, a good friend of the family from years ago. She didn't even live here anymore, but she was talking to me, and she told me how when Eddie was in the hospital, she went to see him, and she hadn't seen me in years, probably since the 1990s, probably 96, 97, since I was a little boy. And she came up to me, and she goes, you know, I talked to Eddie about you. I says, really? She goes, yeah. She goes, I asked him how you were. And I says, really, what do you have to say? She goes, he told me that you were a pain in the neck, but he loved you like a son. He loved you like a son, and he would do anything for you. And, you know, obviously I knew that, but to hear that sort of response, it tore my heart up. It tore my heart up in a way that I couldn't explain, because I had always wanted to be that person for him, but I never felt good enough. But when she told me that, that really made me feel like a rock star. Because, you know, what's unfortunate is, like, when you have diabetes, you change. You're not the same person. You're not the same person because you're angry. You're angry that you can't change your situation. You're angry that you can't take care of yourself. And so, you know, the last few months, we spoke to each other in anger. We weren't happy. You know, he had gotten upset with me because of certain things, and I had gotten upset with him. But the last time that I ever saw him, it was Thanksgiving, and I was working at my local deli. And I walked out to the car because my grandmother wanted to come see me before they left for Lebanon. They ended up going to Lebanon to spend time with my family for Thanksgiving. And Eddie had flown back up home for Thanksgiving from Florida. And I saw him sitting there in the car, and I walked out of the store, and I just gave him a big hug, and I gave him a kiss, and I told him how I loved him. And I'm glad he was home. And that was the last time I saw him. You know, sometimes we think about the last moments in a situation, and we go back and forth. You know, I could have said this, I could have done that, but you know what, in that moment, there's not a hair of a doubt that I said the right thing. You know, and when I heard that from Judy at the service, that confirmed it, was that no matter what I did, no matter what I said, no matter what he did, no matter what he said, we were always going to be on the same page. Because he knew how I felt, and I knew how he felt about our relationship. And, you know, it was the hardest thing in the world to go on my phone and delete that number. I can't lie to anybody, you know. I sat there in awe about 1 minute there's somebody there that you care about, then the next minute they're gone. Even after 3.5 years, you know, I still don't believe it, guys. I could sit here and lie to you and say that I don't think about that whole situation, but I do almost every day. And so I think the message of this podcast, I hope that people, you know, I'm a very emotional person. And so when I sit here and tell you guys these stories, it's not to get anybody down. Believe me, I swear, I don't want anyone to feel upset by this podcast. It's just to let you know that when you have people in your life that you care about, do yourselves a favor. Go to them and tell them. Go to them and tell them, because you know what? It may be one of your last chances too. It may be one of your last chances too. You know, you guys know that I'm honest. I have no reason to lie to you people. You know, I miss Katie, I miss Obbs. I lost two people within a month that meant more to me than anyone will ever know. And Eddie was just one of those people. He may have been my uncle, he may have been my family, but he really was a really tight friend of mine. You know, Preston and me went up there once. I had just moved in to my grandmother's house, and I said, you want to meet my uncle? You want to stop by and say hi? He goes, yeah, sure. Jeez, I'm coughing like I got leukemia or something. Hopefully I don't. I said, you want to meet my uncle? He goes, yeah, sure. So we stop at his house, and we walk up the stairs, and he's doing the dishes or something in his kitchen. First words out of his mouth. Yeah, how you doing? Yeah, you know, you're going to get a wife. That way you don't have to do any of this stuff. And of course he was joking. And Preston never forgot that. He was just like, I can't believe you just said that to me. I said, yeah, well, get used to that. But he was always kidding around like that. You know, he had that sense of humor, but he was just, he was loved. He was loved because of his personality and how he carried himself, as I told you. Oh my goodness, I think I'm dying. You know, I remember when I got my scooter, I got a little moped. This had to be 2013, 2014, right around that time. I was still working at the deli. And he rolled up on his Harley one day. And I showed him. And he didn't judge me. He didn't belittle me. He was just happy that I was sort of getting started with, you know, wanting to be on two wheels. He loved to ride. He lived to ride. You know, that was his motto. Live to ride and ride to live. Being on a motorcycle, that just made him happy. And so that's why I love riding today. I got a Harley myself, and my license plate says for Rooster. You know, he... I wish him peace. He's always in my heart. And I just wanted to come on today and talk to you guys about it. Just the things that I'm thinking about. You know, sometimes we get in a position of life where we don't really know what to do or how to do it. I was there on many occasions where he just sat there and listened to me. And listened to my problems and made me laugh. It made me feel like a rock star. You know, he came to my shows. He supported me. And I'll never forget that. I'll never forget the type of person he was. And I carry myself in that same way. So, trust me when I'm telling you, take the time to talk to the people that you care about and tell them that you care about them. Give them a hug. You know, it's not meant to be gaga, goo goo, gushy, or mushy. It's like, it's just a fact. It's, you need those certain people in your life. You know, you need to have support. And family is family. Blood, not blood. I got 3 siblings that aren't related to me, but they're my siblings. I grew up in the same house, and I would do anything for them. And I would have done anything for Eddie, and it's crazy to think that all this time has gone by, but you know, I just wanted to come on today and talk to you guys about that and relay these stories that... Excuse me. Whew! Relay these stories that mean a lot to me. You know, I never talked about this stuff before with people who don't know me. You know, and I'm glad that I was able to tell you guys. I'm glad that... I'm able to come on this platform still and have this podcast. And, you know, if you're down, don't worry, because we're all experiencing the same thing right now. We're all experiencing hardships and doubt and pain. the hardest thing in the world for me was to leave that neighborhood. You know, when my grandmother passed away and I had to pack up and move, I was so angry and upset because I felt like her memory was being betrayed. But the one thing Eddie taught me was that, you know, amongst many things, was that sometimes there's things you can't change. And you have to just not worry about what other people are doing, but worry about what you're doing. Worry about what you're doing. You know, sometimes people do stupid things. And you have the choice to make. It's like you may not be able to do the ethical thing or the smart thing, but sometimes there's not a doubt in your mind that you did the right thing. The right thing. So stay strong, you savages. You're in my heart, mind, and soul. I love you. Thanks for coming on and listening to this podcast once again. We're going to have a lot of guests on soon. I got a lot of things prepared. I'm sorry that I couldn't get a podcast out last week. I apologize. Things are just hectic right now with my two jobs. I've been sick. I'm kind of just coming out of it right now. But please know that I'm thinking about y'all. And I got a lot of things coming up. I got a show on September 5th. My show on the 5th of August got canceled because of the weather, and I was under the weather as well, so I was kind of not worried about it. I got things coming up, projects, and stay tuned. Do me a favor, rate this podcast, give it a review, give it a like, give it a dislike, give it something. It would help. I'm happy to always come on and have this platform. And hit me up on social media at @YRULaughing_Y_U_R_U_laughing_podcast. And go check out my YouTube channel at The Clappinator. Capital T-H-E, capital C-L-A-P-P-A-N-A-T-E-R. We got new videos almost every week. I just put out a couple shorts on there, which if you don't know what shorts are, they're like 30-second clips sometimes, 30 to 1-minute clips. And apparently they're getting more views than regular, you know, videos, which is crazy. You know, not all the time, but sometimes. So I'm hoping to put out some more content. I'm hoping to put out some more podcasts. I got some great guests coming on planned. And, yeah. Hopefully everybody's doing okay. I'm thinking about you guys always. And hopefully everybody's calm, cool, collected. And I will chat with you guys soon, hopefully. This has been a Why Are You Laughing podcast, and we are clear.